Welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa Conference. So today's class will be given by Harvesh Kala Sutta Mataji on the topic of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Madhya Lila, chapter 23 and text 45. Hare Krishna Mataji, are you present on the call?
Hare Krishna Komudiki Mataji, and our pranams.
Hare Krishna Mataji. Thank you very much for joining. Dhanbad Pranam, all goes to Sri Prabhupada, all goes to Jodhmar. Thank you very much for giving your very valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening us on the topic, on this topic. I now hand over the call to you, Mataji. Please take it.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Advaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 23, entitled Life's Ultimate Goal. Reading from Text 45. অধিকারী ভেদের অতি পঞ্চ পরকার শান্ত দাস সখ্য বাৎসল্য মধুর ট্রান্সলেশন অ্যাকর্ডিং টু দ্য ক্যান্ডিডেট পজেসিং দিস ট্রান্সেন্ডেন্টাল কোয়ালিটিস স্নেহ মান এন্ড সো অন দের আর ফাইভ ট্রান্সেন্ডেন্টাল মেডলস নিউট্রালিটি সার্ভিটরশিপ friendship, parental love, and conjugal love. Om Agyanat Mirantasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Radhanath Swamini Dinamine Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Jayapataka Swamini Dinamine Namo Acharya Padaya Nitai Krupa Padaya Gaurakatha Dhamadaya Nagara Gramatarini. Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Dinamni Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarini Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shravasati Gaura Bhaktarinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mukham Karoti Vachalam, Pangolangayate Girim. Yat Kripata Maham Bhande, Shri Gurum Vinatarinam, Paramananda Madhavam, Shri Chaitanya Ishwaram, Hariyam Tatsat. Hare Krishna. So, this chapter is very, very, Chaitanya Charitamrita, as Srila Prabhupada also very clearly describes, that Chaitanya Charitamrita is actually a PhD level study. It is very esoteric subject matters are being discussed here, and you know, I'm definitely not on that level to really describe so many, you know, the vikritis, different vikritis and the, you know, things that are very, very esoteric subject matters which are discussed here. But nonetheless, we will try to repeat whatever Srila Prabhupada has said here, and we'll try to understand what Srila Prabhupada is trying to make us understand. So, taking shelter of all of you, we try to humbly attempt to speak something on this verse today. So here, we all are seeing that the five transcendental mellows, you know, the primary rasas, are being described here, which is Shantaras, Dasyaras, Sakhyaras, Vatsalya Ras and Madhurya Ras. So these five primary rasas, now these are primary rasas, but there are different other rasas also, which are going to get described further down in the verses in this chapter. And Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami in his Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, gives very elaborate description of these, different kinds of, the primary rasas there that are there. Then there are seven secondary rasas, which are called as Hasya, Karuna, Raudra, Veera, Bhayankara, Vibhatsa, and Adbhuta. Very beautiful rasas. Some of them, can be taken in a negative way. Some of them, but they're all utilized in the service of Krishna. Valiant, chivalry, that is chivalry, the chivalry rasa. Then there is, even anger is a rasa, like Hanuman. How Hanuman just burnt up Lanka because he was so angry with Ravana for kidnapping Mother Sita. So like this, we have these different, rasas, which are secondary rasas. The first of the secondary rasas is Hasya. Hasya, it is explained, there is this very, very famous picture when Srila Prabhupada, it is explained that when Srila Prabhupada was talking about the Hasya Rasa, Srila Prabhupada gave a very beautiful description about this particular mellow, this particular rasa, about laughter, excessive laughter. And Srila Prabhupada, he actually described that one time Krishna was playing with his cowherd boyfriend, and that there was a competition amongst the boys. They were playing a very strange game. And the game was that Krishna will, or, one of the boys will take a blade of grass and will take it up the nose of the other boy and pickle the nose of the boy. And then they'll go, achoo! And then everybody else will laugh. Whoever laughs the most, and the most valiantly whoever laughs, then that person will get to tickle, he will get the grass, and he will get to tickle another person. So that was how this game was going on. And there's a very beautiful picture that depicts this particular pastime, that one of the sakhas is taking the blade of grass against Krishna's nose, and Krishna is going, achoo! And Krishna's mouth is open. It's a very, very sweet photograph. And that is the rasa of Hasya. Then there's, of course, Karuna, which is mercy, compassion. Then there's Raudra, which is anger, like we described as Hanuman becoming so angry at Ravana that, and also he was very angry that Mother Sita, did not want to come with him. He was sad, not angry because of that, but he was just more angry at, really, really angry at Ravana. And when Mother Sita refused to come with Hanuman, because Hanuman said that, come with me, I'll take you right now back to Lord Ram. You don't have to even wait, for Ram to come back here. So then Mother Sita's words actually, pacified Hanuman a little bit. And she said that, my dear son Hanuman, I can very well come with you, but there are two reasons that I do not want to come with you. The first reason being that I am a sati, I am a chaste wife. And a chaste wife, doesn't get touched by another man other than her husband. So I was brought here by cheat and by tricking. Ravana tricked me. And without my permission, he forcibly brought me here. I really tried to save myself, but I could not. But Ravana tricked me. He cheated me and he brought me here. So that one, I had no other choice. But now I have a choice, and therefore I do not want to go with you. And the second and the most important reason, because this first reason was refuted by Hanuman. Hanuman said, but Mata, I am your son. So you can very well come with me. And then Mother Sita, she nodded. She said, yes, my dear son Hanuman, I consider you my own son. There is no doubt that you are my son. But Mother Sita gave the second and the most important reason. She said that I want to give the credit of freeing me from the clutches of Ravana. I want to give that credit to Raghunath, to my Lord Raghunath. So let my Lord Ramachandra get that credit of, you know, freeing me from the captivity of Ravana, and let him take me back. You know, so I want to give him that credit. So that was how Mother Sita, you know, pacified Hanuman for a little bit. And but then when Hanuman was leaving from Ashokavatika, he said that, you know, Mother Sita is undergoing so much of pain, and my dear Lord Ram, my life and soul, he is undergoing so much of pain in a, you know, separation from Mother Sita, and it is all because of this treacherous Ravana. I'm not going to leave him. So Hanuman, he just burnt down the entire Lanka out of his anger. So Raudra, out of his anger, he burnt down Veera. Veera is chivalry, you know, the chivalry lesson, you know. So we have chivalrous people, Arjuna, and then all the Pandavas, you know, exhibiting chivalry, rasa. And, you know, so like this, there's a lot of chivalrous rasa that is going on. Then there's the Bhayankara. Bhayankara means fearful. You know, one, if you see that person, you become fearful, Bhayankara. That you become very, very fearful when you see that form of the Lord. So it is explained that when the, you know, the gopis, when they would, you know, when Krishna would sometimes call them in the middle of the night by playing on his flute, then, you know, the when the gopis would then finally come to meet with Krishna in the middle of the night, leaving everything behind them, that time Krishna would, in the beginning, would tease the gopis and say that, no, no, you're all chaste girls, you know, you should go back to your home and you should not be here with me. You know, I'm a cowherd boy and, you know, we don't have any relationship. How can you young girls come like this to me in the middle of the night? What will the society say? Like this, Krishna would tease the gopis. And that time, first the gopis would display a lot of anger. And after becoming angry, the gopis would actually assume a very ferocious form, like Lord Nrsingadev. You know, they would become so angry and so, you know, disgusted with Krishna, actually, that they would start, you know, chastising him very, very badly. And then give him reasons, and then Krishna would pacify them. And then, you know, the gopis would start giving him very, very logical. Each of the statements that Krishna would make to the gopis, in the beginning, that, you know, how can you cultured girls come to me in the middle of the night? So gopis would refute each and every point that Krishna would make. And, you know, once they were pacified by Krishna, and they would refute each and every point, and they would convince Krishna that, you know, it is justified for them to come to Krishna. And Krishna would love, you know, hearing the justifications of the gopis. He would love that. His, you know, just to hear those justifications, just to hear the extent to which the gopis were ready to go to Krishna would, almost every day, he would tease the gopis like this, and then the gopis would become very ferocious with Krishna, vidvatsa with Krishna. And then, of course, there's the Adbhuta, magnanimous form of Krishna and his devotees. So these, Bhayankara, Vibhatsa, Adbhuta, Veera, Raudra, these mellows can be displayed even by Krishna and by his dear devotees. So this is how these seven secondary rasas are explained. And the first five, of course, which we know as the primary rasas, which is, of course, Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. So here in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is saying that he is describing what is rati, what is attraction. Because here in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is saying that according to the candidate possessing these transcendental qualities, what are the transcendental qualities? Of sneha, mana, and so on. That there are five transcendental mellows based on these. Now, sneha and mana. Sneha, mana, they are actually that how prema is further divided into sneha, mana, pranaya, raga, anuraga, bhava, and mahabhava. So these, seven mellows, which are described as the subdivisions of prema. Prema are the nine stages, it's the highest stage, it's the ninth stage of bhakti, starting from Shraddha. So Shraddha is faith. Then when we have little bit of faith, with that little faith we start associating with devotees, sadhu sangha, that's the second stage. And while staying in sadhu sangha, we perform bhajana kriya, that's the third stage, the performance of devotional service. Then the fourth stage is, while we are in the sadhu sangha, while we are doing bhajana kriya, what is the resultant activity of that? Is anartha nivritti. It is the decreasing of unwanted attachments. Like along with our bhakti lata bija, there are lots of weeds that are growing in the form of unwanted negative emotions that are always creeping up. So many things that are unwanted are also coming. And they actually look, sometimes when you are, if you're an expert gardener, you can see this, that sometimes the weeds, they actually appear like the exact plant. And sometimes it's very difficult to distinguish that which is the weed and which is the actual plant. So therefore, we need to be in the sadhu sangha so that the sadhus can help us recognize that, yes, this is the anartha, this is the weed. Uproot that weed. Don't uproot the bhakti lata. So like this, the process of anartha nivritti happens. And while the process of anartha nivritti is happening, we come to the fifth stage, which is nishtha. We become steadfast in our devotional service. Then, once we are steadfast in our devotional service, that, we don't have to, at that time, we are very, very pakka in following all of our devotional practices. We become steady in our devotional practices. Then there's the stage of ruchi, which is taste. We develop taste to chanting the holy names. From taste to chanting the holy names, we develop ashakti, which is attachment. That is the seventh stage. And because of that attachment, we develop bhava, which is pure, which is love. Bhava is love. And then it blossoms to the ninth stage of bhakti, which is prema, pure love for Krishna. So these nine stages of devotional service, nine stages of bhakti, is very much similar to the process of our own education. If each of us look back to our educational days we can relate to these nine processes. You know, like we start off with Shraddha. We, you know, our parents keep telling us, you know, beta, if you go to school, you become a very big man one day. You know, one day everyone will, you know, give you respect. You will be able to protect your family. You will be able to take care of your family. So therefore you need to go to school. So by having little faith in the words of our parents, that's why we start going to school. We don't like it. In the beginning, none of us like to go to school. There are very few kids. There are very few kids who actually love to go to school. Very special souls they are. But generally, people don't like to go to school. At least I remember I hated to go to school in the initial days. So we started off with faith, with Shraddha. Then Sadhu Sangha. Then we start associating with all of our classmates. When we associate with our classmates, that gives us the motivation to keep going back because we have friends in school. We may not like what we are studying, but we like those friends. You know, how many of us can raise our hands and say that, yes, I went to school because I liked my friends. I did not like to study, but I liked to go to school because I had friends there. Most of us will raise our hands to that. So that is Sadhu Sangha. That is the association of our classmates. That is the second process. Then in that association, we do Bhajana Kriya. What is the Bhajana Kriya in school? We do group studies. You know, in order to understand more what the teacher is teaching us in the class, we break out into small study groups. We do tuition classes at the end of the school. After school hours, we do study groups. So when we do like this, then what happens when we study in smaller groups? Then all of our doubts, all of the, you know, little things that we had, little questions about, all of that get decreased. That is anarthanivritti. We start, you know, in that association, in those smaller group association, we start understanding better what we are learning in class. And by that time, you know, when we come to the 7th, 8th grade, we actually become steady. That time, our parents don't have to force us to, you know, go to school every day. By the time we are in the 7th or the 8th grade, we actually become very steady, very disciplined in our academic life by the time we are in 7th and 8th grade. Then, once that steadiness comes, we start developing a taste for mathematics. We start developing taste for science. Things that we, if we look back even 5-6 years before, we did not have any taste for. But now, because we have a goal that, okay, I want to become a doctor, and if I want to become a doctor, then I have to like the science subject. So I start developing taste for science subjects. You see? So we become more knowledgeable, and we knowingly start developing the taste. The same with Krishna consciousness. While we are in Bhajana Kriya, while we are doing Anarthanivritti, the stages of Nishtha and Ruchi, and then for that, the seventh stage of Ashakti, which is attachment, comes automatically. Because now we are doing things in complete knowledge. That is why Nishtha, Ruchi and Ashakti develop. And then because of that, we start loving what we are doing. Because we start seeing results. 10th grade, we get 95%. Wow, I love what I'm studying. Sometimes, you know, the medical courses can be very, very boring, very dry. But then looking at the end result after 5 years, what's going to happen to us after 5 years, we take on that challenge of studying for those 5 years. And then it fructifies into us coming out in a white coat doctor, you know, becoming a white coat doctor. So like this is how even the devotional life also progresses. for any sadhaka. So the four stages, the first four stages, which is Shraddha, Sadhusanga, Bhajanakriya, Anarthanivritti, these four stages, rather the Sadhusanga and the Bhajanakriya, second and third stages, they stay throughout with us. We don't grow out of them. You know, we continue to stay in Sadhusanga. We continue to perform devotional service. And this Anarthanivritti also keeps going on till at least the stage of Asakti. Till the seventh stage, Anarthanivritti goes on. When we come to the stage of Bhava, there are some traces still remaining of Anarthanivritti. Very subtle ones are still remaining of Anarthanivritti. But Anarthanivritti is completely gone at the stage of Prema. At the final stage of Prema, we are freed from all anarthas. But still, at that time also, Sadhusanga and Bhajanakriya is continuing. So that is the beauty of these nine stages of bhakti. And so after the nine stages of bhakti comes the seven stages of prema. You know, prema is again subdivided into seven different stages, which is called as sneha, mana, pranaya, raga, anuraga, bhava, and mahabhava. So here in this purport, in this translation, Srila Prabhupada is mentioning sneha, mana, and so on, which means that it's talking about the stages after the nine stages of bhakti, which is the subdivisions of prema. So it is saying that according to the candidate, possessing these transcendental qualities means the qualities of prema, the qualities of love, pure love for Krishna, the five transcendental mellows of Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya, they automatically develop. Very beautifully explained here that how when we are able to develop the further stages of prema, then we will be able to attach ourselves in one of these five primary rasas to Krishna. Now in the impure stage, we are in the stage of Bhajanakriya and Anarthanivritti. At least I am in that. And in that state, the only thing that is recommended for us to follow, the only mellow that we are recommended to follow by Srila Prabhupada, is the mellow of Dasya Rasa. We should serve Krishna as a servant, in the mood of a servant. Because any of the other rasas, we are not really qualified. Because then, if we artificially try to, you know, imbibe any of the other rasas, then we will be becoming, you know, very much watered down. We'll become very much sahajiyas. We'll become very, you know, we'll mistreat and misuse these rasas because we are not in that purified state. So the, you know, level of, you know, neutrality, shantaras. In shantaras, as we all know, that there is so many personalities who serve Krishna in Shantaras. And we'll see in the next verse, the next the subsequent verses, we'll see that how it is said that anyone can even perfect their life by following just one of these rasas. So there are different personalities who have perfected their life by serving Krishna in neutrality, in Shantaras. So some of them are Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj. These are all devotees, personalities in Shantaras. Then there is Krishna's flute. Then there is Krishna's clothes, Krishna's ornaments, the blade of grass. They are all in the mood of neutrality in Shantaras. Then moving on is Dasya Ras. Dasya Ras is personified by the best servitor of Krishna is Hanuman. You know, the perfect servitor of Krishna is Hanuman. And then moving on is friendship, Sakya Ras. Sakya Ras is Arjuna, Sridham, Sudham, Madhumangal, all the cowherd boys. They glorify, you know, their relationship with Krishna in friendship. Of course, then there's the parental love, the Vatsalya Ras, which is personified by Mother Yashoda, Nanda Baba, Vasudev, Devaki, Mata Rohini. These are personalities in Vatsalya Ras. And Madhurya Ras is personified by the Sakhis, the Gopis, the Manjaris, and also by Mahabhav Swarupini, Srimati Radha Thakurani. So, we should understand one very important thing when we are understanding these five primary rasas, that it's not that we graduate from, you know, Shantaras, then we graduate and, you know, attain Dasyaras, then from Dasyaras we graduate and we get to Sakhyaras. It's not like that. These rasas, they are complete in themselves. In fact, they are not like, you know, Madhurya Ras, we have to achieve that, you know, from neutrality, then we have to work our way towards Madhurya Ras. It's not like that. In fact, it is said that it is just that these, you know, rasas, they are like different layers of the flower, you know, the whorls that are inside, the petals that are in the innermost whorl of the flower, and then the petals keep growing, like that. So they are just more intimate than the other. That's the only difference. So in Shantaras, there is not much intimacy with Krishna. In Dasyaras, there is little more intimacy, but not to that extent. Like Hanuman can never think of, you know, tickling Lord Ram's nose with a blade of grass and making him go achu, you know, and making him laugh. Hanuman can never imagine that. In fact, if anyone does that to Lord Ram, Hanuman will kill him. You know, that is the kind of reverence that Hanuman has towards Lord Ram. And it is complete in itself. So it is just the level of intimacy keeps increasing with each of these levels. Each of these rasas, they are not in the form of levels. I withdraw my words. It's not in the form of levels. It is just in the form of extended intimacy, more intimacy. So the most intimate of all these rasas is Madhurya Ras. Less intimate is parental. Like, you know, we can very well say this, that of course when the children are young, then the parents are the ones who know all the secrets of their own children. But when the children grow up and when they get married, the husband and the wife, then the husband and the wife are the ones who know each other more than their own parents would know them. You know, like the husband knows more intimate details about the wife, or the wife knows intimate details about the husband. Such details, even the, you know, husband-wife's parents would not know, you know. So that we can see Pratyaksha Praman in our own relationships also. And we can relate to that and understand this kind of relationship that we can have with Krishna. So Lord Balaram is actually the only personality who serves Krishna in all of the five rasas. In all of the five rasas. There are some personalities who serve Krishna in more than one rasa. There are some personalities, like the cow. Suravi Mata. She serves Krishna in more than one rasa. she serves Krishna as a dasi, as a servant. But she also provides milk to Krishna, which is in Vatsalya Rasa. She also goes and, you know, like when Krishna is feeling very tired, then the cow sits down in such a way that Krishna then just cuddles in between the legs of the cow, and then, you know, makes the cow's stomach like his sofa, you know, like a sofa backrest. And that's how Krishna feels, like the king of the world, sitting, you know, on the sofa-like cushion of mother cow, like that. So, you know, the cow serves Krishna in multiple rasas, like a sakha, in Vatsalya, and in Dasya rasa. So three of these rasas the cow serves. But Balaram is the only one personality who serves Krishna in all the five rasas. In neutrality, in Shantaras, Balaram is the one who manifests as, you know, Krishna's, you know, clothes. He manifests as Krishna's paraphernalia. He manifests as the Dham. The Dham is the personification of Lord Balaram, expansion of Lord Balaram. So like this, Lord Balaram, he serves Krishna in Shantaras. In Dasya Ras, it is explained that when Krishna opens his eyes, Balaram is always the first person whom Krishna sees, even before Mother Yashoda. Balaram is the first person, as soon as Krishna, of course, when he comes back to Nandagram, that is, when in the, you know, early morning, even before the sun rises, when Krishna wakes up, he wakes up alongside Srimati Radharani. And then Krishna runs off into his palace in Nandagram, and then he goes and sleeps next to Lord Balaram. So when, you know, Balaram wants to wake him up, then, you know, he goes and wakes up Krishna, that Krishna, now you get ready because Yashoda Mata is coming to wake you up. And Balaram checks if Krishna is decent enough that when Mother Yashoda comes to wake up Krishna, that she should not get a shock. And it happened one day like this, that when Balaram came to check on Krishna, that if everything is okay, he saw that that Krishna was wearing a blue color dhoti, which had beautiful golden flowers and red flowers, and it had a very beautiful gold and red border. And he immediately understood, Balaram immediately understood, that this is the sari of Srimati Radharani, and this Kanha he has worn in great haste. He has come like this, and he wore Radharani's sari and came. Where is this Pitambari Vrastra? So like this, then, you know, Balaram immediately woke up Krishna before Mother Yashoda came into the room and said, Kanha, just change your dress. You know, because otherwise Mother Yashoda will think, what's wrong with you, that she put you to bed in the night with yellow dhoti and now you're getting up with a blue dhoti? No. She will not like that. She will have too many doubts. So change your dress. And then he put him back to sleep, and then Mother Yashoda came and woke him up. And then Balaram, he was so, you know, beautiful in his and perfect in his services that Balaram actually arranged for a special tray of gift to go to Barshana, to Srimati Radharani, because Balaram understood that Srimati Radharani also should not get embarrassed because she must be wearing Krishna's dhoti, you know, Krishna's Pitambari dhoti. So then Balaram sent Srimati Radharani's sari along with many other gifts and made it look very authoritative and genuine that it's coming from Mother Yashoda. And that tray was given to Srimati Radharani, and she was also saved from this embarrassment. So like this, Balaram, he is the perfect servitor, the first servitor of Krishna. Friendship in Sakya Rasa. You know how intimate Balaram and Krishna, they both are, that Krishna, you know, he revealed that apart from, there were only, you know, two personalities who knew about the fact that, you know, Lord Brahma had stolen the calves and the cowherd boys, and that Krishna had manifested as the cowherd boys and the calves. This fact was known by only two personalities in Vrindavan. One was Purnamasi and the other was Lord Balaram. So friend means one who keeps secrets. So this secret was kept by Lord Balaram very, very nicely, securely, and he never revealed it to anybody. So like this, many such secrets were kept of Krishna's. Many, many secrets were kept by Lord Balaram. In fact, Lord Balaram was such a good friend of Krishna's that, you know, Krishna would not only meet with the gopis in the middle of the night, but Krishna would also meet them during the mid-morning time. You know, around this time is when Krishna also likes to meet with the gopis, because the gopis, they would say that Kanha, to stay away from you for 24 hours is too much. You cannot just give us only one time in the night that we're meeting with you. We have to meet with you sometime else also. So then Krishna would sneak away during the mid-morning time. When the cows and the calves would be grazing, Balaram would give Krishna a sign and Krishna would sneak away. And he would go to Radha Kund and he would meet with Srimati Radharani and the Sakhis. This secret was also kept by Lord Balaram. Lord Balaram was such a chaste friend of Krishna's that it is said that when Krishna would walk on the foothills of Govardhan, on Giriraj, Giriraj, all of his stones, because Krishna's lotus feet would come, you know, like Giriraj would feel the lotus feet of Krishna upon him. And Giriraj, out of ecstasy, he would melt. And Krishna's lotus footprints would be imprinted on Giriraj Shilas. So similarly, when Srimati Radharani would walk, Srimati Radharani would leave her imprints, and her imprints would be reddish because she would wear red alta on her lotus feet. And Giriraj would completely melt, you know, in the touch of Srimati Radharani's lotus feet. So wherever Srimati Radharani would put her lotus feet, Giriraj on him, on his shilas, there would be red foot imprints. Whenever Balaram would walk, there would be white crystals, you know, like, because Lord Balaram, he was like the white champaka flower. That was the complexion he had. So whenever Lord Balaram would step on Giriraj, Giriraj, that place would become like white crystals. And Krishna's, of course, would leave a black imprint. So it is explained that Krishna, he would find where Srimati Radharani is by looking for the red foot imprint on Giriraj. And Balaram would actually help Krishna in finding those red footprints. And it is said that as soon as the red footprints would start, Balaram would say, okay, Krishna, you can go this way. Sri Radhe has gone this side. So Balaram will go away on the other side, just to not embarrass Srimati Radharani, you know, not to make her feel uncomfortable. So like this, Balaram was such a beautiful, you know, confidant of Krishna, such a beautiful companion and such a beautiful confidant of Krishna. Parental love, Vatsalya. When Balaram saw Krishna diving into the Jamuna to chastise Kaliya, for a moment it is explained that Balaram also started crying. That he felt so much affection for Krishna that, oh my dear brother, where have you gone into the lake of poison? Why did you go like this? I should have gone. And Balaram was lamenting for a little while that, why did I let my dearly beloved brother go? I should have jumped into the poisonous lake. And then when Krishna came out dancing on the hoods of Kaliya, at that time, Balaram, you know, he was feeling so proud of his brother, and it is explained that that was the feeling of a parent, you know, of how a father feels so much proud of his son when the son achieves something. And Balaram was feeling that same pride, that look what my brother has done. He has subdued this poisonous serpent, Kaliya. So like this, you know, Balaram would manifest his Vatsalya mood with Krishna. And in conjugal rasa, in Madhurya rasa, Balaram himself was not able to directly participate, but he therefore expanded himself into this beautiful manjari named as Ananga Manjari. And he came as the sister of Srimati Radharani, the younger sister of Srimati Radharani. And Ananga Manjari is none other than Lord Balaram. And Ananga Manjari is extremely dear to Srimati Radharani and to Sri Krishna. And she is the one who is the leader of the Manjaris, one of the leaders of the Manjaris, along with Rupa Manjari. And she directs the Manjaris in intimate service to Radha and Krishna. So this is the way that Srimati Radharani gets served so intimately by Lord Balaram. So these are the five rasas that we are discussing today, and we'll end here. If there's any questions, comments, or reflections, we can take that now. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Kala Sadam Mataji. Please accept my humble obeisance. What a beautiful class. It was so relishable. The very appropriate example you gave about school and graduating and everything. It all fell in place so beautifully. Thank you so much, Mataji, for explaining them so nicely. And please take care of your health. You still take care.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Anyone else has any questions or comments? You can go ahead.
Hare Krishna, actually, I think Mataji, Koti Koti Janpat Swaram Kalasura Mataji, as usual, wonderful association after a long, long time. Please come Saturday and take us in Shidham Vrindavan Dham. Waiting your association. Dandavat Pranam. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Mataji, for your beautiful class. And as people will ask me, just telling, right? Yeah. Please take care of your health, Mataji. You have a really bad cough. So we'll pray for your speedy recovery. Hope you feel better.
Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dhanvat Pranam. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.
Turn left at the traffic light.
Mataji, it's so nice to hear from you after a long time. Mataji, when you say about these pastimes, when you hear about these pastimes, I always think, like, when it is related to Krishna and the gopis and Srimati Radharani, we know their bhav. But then, what would have been the bhav of the Braj people or the people around over there when the gopis went to meet Krishna? Like, what was that scenario, or what was that bhav that they had? Do we have any perspective from their sense?
Well, of course we do. Their bhava is, you know, a mixture of vatsalya. The Vrajavasis, they have vatsalya ras towards Krishna. The Vrajavasis, they are, you know, elderly gopas and gopis. So they have vatsalya ras towards Krishna.
Oh, okay, Mataji. Okay. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you.
Mataji, Hare Krishna, Dandavat Pranam. Thank you so much, Mataji, for the beautiful class. Mataji here, Kishori Mataji has a question from online. Hare Krishna, Mataji, did not the gopis display the dasyaras as well as Madhurya?
Come again, is the gopis what?
Gopis display dasyaras as well as Madhurya.
Well, the gopis display all five rasas also. Like Srimati Radharani, it is explained that she takes care of Krishna by cooking for him and feeding him like just like a mother would, you know. And she is the best friend for Krishna. She is the best servitor for Krishna. And she serves Krishna even in neutrality, you know, in Shantaras as well. So the gopis and Srimati Radharani, they serve Krishna not only just in the Madhurya Ras, but in all five rasas. If they wish to, they can serve him in all five rasas.
Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Mataji, just one quick question. Mm-hmm. You said that Prahlad Maharaj also served in neutrality, in Shantaras. But
yes.
We see that how Prahlad Maharaj, how basically Narsingadev enjoyed that Vatsalya Bhav with Prahlad Maharaj.
Yeah.
You know. So how can we understand that he was serving in neutrality but not in a kind of a relationship where the Lord becomes a parent and the devotee becomes a son?
Correct. Very nice. You see, the way that Prahlad Maharaj started off, you know, that was in the state of neutrality. That's how Srila Prabhupada explains it. And if you read the purport, in, you know, when, you know, it is said that Lord Narsingadev was, you know, actually licking the face of Prahlad and smelling Prahlad's hair, you know, just like a father would. So that was how Narsingadev was, you know, manifesting his Vatsalya Bhav, as a protector towards Prahlad. So, you know, their relationship, you know, grew from, you know, neutrality, and it, you know, fructified into Vatsalya. And that to a manifestation of, you know, Prahlad being like the child and Lord Narsingadev being the father, you know. So that was, again, that's why it is called the sense of the mellow of neutrality, that Prahlad was, you know, maximum, even at that state when he was being in the, you know, loving care of Lord Narsingadev, Prahlad Maharaj never, you know, felt like, you know, anything other than just being the one who is being protected by Lord Narsingadev. You know, that was his mood. And Lord Narsingadev was manifesting the Vatsalya Ras towards Prahlad. So that's why that is very, very unique rasa. It's a very unique rasa where the Lord is manifesting Vatsalya Ras towards anyone, you know, and that was Prahlad.
Thank you.
Any more questions?
Anyone else has any questions or comments for Mataji?
Mataji, can you please sing Shishi Narsingha, Narsingha Shrotram?
Narsingha Stotra?
If it is possible, Mataji.
Narsingha Stotra is a very big stotra.
Only one or two, Mataji?
There are many Nrsingha stotras. Which one do you want me to sing?
Whatever, Mataji, you want to serve us, Mataji.
Maybe why don't you look it up and tell me? I'll see if I can sing that. But my voice is really, I start coughing too much. Maybe I'll sing next time.
Next time, Mataji, next time. Next time.
Yeah. Thank next you. Time. My throat is not doing too well. And I have this
Yes, Mataji, please forgive me. Yes, Mataji.
No. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry, but next time.
Please forgive me next time.
Thank you.
If no one else has any questions or questions, we can end the call. Thank you so much, Kalasada Mataji, and please take care of your health. Our prayers.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you. Thank you so
Thank you,
much.
Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Vancha kalpataru vyashya kripa sindhu bheva cha hitanam pavane bhyo vaishnavyo namo namaha ananta koti vaishnavrinda ki jai shrila prabhupada ki jai shri shri chaitanya charitamrita ki jai har grace khala sada mataji ki jai ananta koti vaishnavrinda
jai thank you mataji
for the beautiful plan